This teaching is the result of a picture that the Lord gave me 2 weeks ago as I was up all night in pain. One positive thing about not sleeping at all for a night is that you have a lot more distraction-free time. Well, I wouldn't say it's distraction-free, but you have a lot more time with God in the wee hours of the morning. Another benefit to experiencing excruciating pain is that, well, I certainly did a lot more praying that night. But I was up and talking with God, and I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me a picture, and that's what sparked this message. So now, before I get too far into it, I just want to give credit to Dr. James Merritt, as I will be borrowing a couple things from a sermon of his that I found the week after that. Listened to some sermons on this passage, and I thought they're good, so I'm going to borrow them. No shame in that. So, all right, let's pray. Father, we love you, we bless you, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us. Teach us, speak through me, that this would not be the words of man, that we would glean and grow from tasting on your word this morning. Challenge us, encourage us, Lord, that we would be more like Christ Jesus to the world. That we would see the New River Valley filled with the knowledge of the glory of you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, if you were to imagine 2,000 years ago, there were no newspaper, no X, no Twitter, no Facebook, cell phone, television, radio. Some of you are old enough to remember the Pony Express. No post office. If you were God, what sort of plan would you put in place to get out the good news of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection? Would you send legions of angels to the four corners of the earth and they would loudly proclaim, "He is risen! He's risen!" so that everyone could hear it? Maybe, since you're God, you know, you can just paint the sky like brilliant gold and green and all sorts of beautiful colors, and the moons and stars are flashing and glowing and singing songs, and they're just proclaiming of Jesus' death and victory over everything. Maybe you would make some sort of mountain that would burn continually, and it would just have this message on repeat. My son, with whom I'm well pleased. Well, God decided to do something most interesting. In fact, he decided to use ordinary people like you, like me, to disseminate his word, his message, and get it out. Am I wrong? Is that truth? Now let that settle in. This is the system that God established and put in place to share the good news of Christ's resurrection. How are you doing on that? How are you doing in that department? How have you been doing this week? Last week, the last month, the last year? How about your whole Christian life? How are you doing with getting the message out? Beloved, do you realize that the population density of heaven depends upon people like you and me? God desires none to perish. Isn't that our desire also? It depends on us. Do you know that there is no plan B to this? God is not just waiting for some point in time in history where, okay, the humans, they tried their best, and he's going to send down his angels with, you know, pulling a banner like the planes on a beach, right? The little advertisements. Jesus is risen. This is not something, he's not waiting for some point in time to do something like this. This is God's only plan to communicate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. We need to let that really sink in and saturate into our minds. See, God began with the 11, the 70, the 120. Most who couldn't even read or probably write, but here we are today. God's still depending on us 2,000 years later with all the technological advances that we've made in this world. With all the social media and all sorts of things, what is God choosing to do? He's not hijacking Twitter and, you know, taking over everybody's feeds. He's not, you know, taking over Google's headquarters and he's got little advertisements everywhere, supernatural commercials. He's still choosing today to use you and I to get his message out. Now, what am I even talking about? Well, there's a lot of different terms for this. Evangelism, that's one term. But that word's scary. We don't like to use that one, do we? That word's reserved for those specially anointed people in ministry that Paul talks about in Ephesians 5. Shh, don't tell anyone. How about we refer to it as proclaiming the gospel? That's a little bit more manageable. Sharing your faith, right? Anyone could share their faith. I don't have faith. Well, share it anyway. You know, people of all different religions can share their faith, right? That's manageable. Church, the harsh reality is that no matter what we call it, no matter what we refer to this, we don't do it. For many followers of Jesus, it's the most difficult part of the Christian walk. Most of us will read our Bibles from time to time. We'll, you know, scrolling through Facebook, we might read a little encouragement, a verse. We'll see some things. We'll feed ourselves a little bit here and there. We might even listen to Christian radio every once in a while. We'll hear a song or put on a worship song. Maybe once in a while, you'll click on Monday Manna, Brittany's little emails, and you might read one of those. You'll take, you know what, God, I'm doing really you a favor this morning. I'm going to spend 3 minutes reading this email. Right? Most of us might volunteer the nursery, the toddler's class. We might even, you know, help out with cafe and do some things from time to time. Perhaps we'll even, if we're really feeling spiritual, we'll drop a check or a $20 bill in a tithe box on the way out. But sharing our faith, witness, evangelize, you crazy? I don't have time for that. I'm too shy. I'm not worthy. I'm not qualified. I'm not gifted enough. I don't know enough. We know that we need to do it, that we ought to do it, that others need us to do it, but the reality is that we just do not do it. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Jesus told about 40 parables by different counts, a little less, a little more. By some appraisals, this is the first recorded parable of Jesus in his ministry, and it just so happens to make it into all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And if that wasn't enough to make you perk up and say, okay, this is something special here, this is only one of three parables that Jesus felt was so important. He said, you know what? I'm going to tell you exactly what it means. I'm going to explain to you what this parable is all about, because I don't want you to miss this. This is a really important one, and I want you to understand what I'm talking about. So this is one of these three parables. We're going to start in verse 1 of Mark chapter 4. He began to teach them by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, immediately, it should be obvious to us that there are three key words here, and very conveniently, in English, they all begin with S. You can thank me for that if you want, but to be perfectly honest, I had nothing to do with that. Number one, we have the sower. The sower. Who is the sower? Is it Jesus? Is Jesus the sower? Well, probably. Well, partially. I mean, get this. If you read this, the sower's not even specifically named. And we're going to come back to that. Hold on to that. Back of your mind. Number two, we have the seed. What is the seed? Well, this one's pretty obvious. I didn't read the verse, but if you skip on down to verse 14, you'll see that the sower sows the word. So the seed is the word. The seed is the word. So we have the sower, we have the seed, and thirdly, we have the soil. I heard it. Someone's really smart. Now, was that Brian? I think it was Brian. You get a sticker. We should start passing out stickers after service. Everyone bring your sticker book. One for attendance, one for bringing your Bible, one for getting a question right. Sower, seed, and soil. What is the soil? We are. But not just you and me. Every single person who has a heart, every man and woman that's ever walked the earth fits into one various type of the soils that are mentioned here in this analogy, this metaphor, this parable. And these are the three S's, the sower, the seed, and the soil. Now, if the soil represents all people for all time, hang with me here, it's not much of a step or jump of logic. If every single person represents a certain soil, I think that it's safe to say that there's more than one sower. Are you following my logic? Was Jesus a sower? Yes, sure, he's the primary sower. He's the foremost example. But so are you and I. If there are more soils, if there's soils all over the earth, then who's going to be sowing the seeds into these soils? Who sowed seeds into your heart? Well, clearly, we've got some other people who are sowing and have picked up that baton and are continuing the work that Jesus started. So we are included in this. In fact, because I would argue that, according to verse 14, the seed is the word, I'd argue that anyone who has the word of God in them is also a sower, or should be a sower. Maybe you don't have that title because you haven't been active in doing it. Anyone who has the word of Christ in them must be a sower like Jesus. This is what the parable's about. How might we impart the word of God? How might we impart truth? How might we preach the word of Christ, or, here's that word, evangelize the world? And this includes all of us. The end of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19, you remember the Great Commission, Jesus says, go therefore make disciples of all the nations. How do you think we ought to be fulfilling that if we are not the ones to be evangelizing? Well, we preach the word, right? That's how we fulfill it. We're the ones to be doing it, obviously. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. You and I are the preachers. Not just the pastor. We use these words kind of interchangeably. Oftentimes, certain denominations more so than others. Oh, the pastor preaches. Yes, he teaches a message. He might preach the gospel. But you and I are all preachers. Noah was a preacher of righteousness before there was even Christianity. How about that? We have that responsibility to preach. Now, church, the focus in this parable is not on the sower. That's why I said it's not even named. It's important that you pick up on this. Neither is the focus on the seed. The seed is simply there. It's sown. It's scattered. What is the focus on? The focus is on the soil. Right? That's the only variable that doesn't... That's the only variable that changes. The sower doesn't change. The seed doesn't change. But the soil changes. Now, I'm going to give you the punchline to this parable up front. But you have to promise me that you're not going to go home after I say this, because I haven't done my illustration yet. I'm saying it now because I don't want you to miss this later on. Here's what it is. And if you're taking notes, this would be a good one to write down. It is the quality of the soil that determines not the planting of the seed that produces a harvest. The quality of the soil determines whether or not the planting of the seed produces a harvest. The quality of the soil determines whether or not the planting of the seed produces a harvest. It's not the sower. It's not on the seed. The outcome of the plant, the potential fruit that is going to be built and established and later grown is determined by the condition of the heart, the soil. Now this ought to free you up in evangelism. What determines the harvest is not determined in the sower. It's not determined in the seed. It's determined in the soil. In other words, it's not the messenger. It's not even the message. It's in the heart of the person who hears the gospel. Now, hopefully, and this is my prayer, once we understand how this works, that many of you will say, I can do that. I need to be doing that. I should be doing that. I want to start doing that. That's my goal today. Church, we need to get involved in sowing the seed, into scattering the seed, and evangelizing and preaching the gospel. And according to this parable, you cannot fail in doing it. The only failure of sowing seed is not in sowing. Because the success, the outcome, the harvest, guess what? It's not determined by you. Now, let's look at Scripture for the interpretation. Verse 13, still in Mark 4. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word." The seed, as I said earlier, is the word of God. That is evident. It's clear. What does this verse say? The sower sows the word. Who sows the word? The sower. Is anyone paying attention? The sower. So that was an easy one. I thought I gave you guys a freebie there. Who sows the word? The sower. Thanks, Sam. Here's the one thing that the seed doesn't do. It doesn't sow itself. I know, this is really deep, guys. I know. Maybe I've lost you. I know this is really deep stuff. Every Christ follower has seed, right? Do you have the Word of God? Do you have the Word of God in you? Well, you ought to, right? If you've got the Word of God in you, then guess what? You've got to go out and sow the seed. It's not going to leave your heart, your mind, without you sowing it. Now, if all you ever do is take your Bible to church, you hear a message, and you go put it back, and it just accumulates dust until next Sunday, then it's not really going to multiply itself, is it? It's never going to produce a harvest. No seed, I don't care how great the seed is, no seed is going to do any good unless it is sowed. Unless it's planted. And Jesus tells us here that the seed cannot plant itself. It's the sower that actually does the sowing. Now, I know a lot of us like to think that, you know, God can do anything. And yes, he can. He can do anything he wants. He can just make everybody a believer without even using you. But he's not going to do that. He's told us how he's going to do it. He's doing it through you and I as the spokespersons, the ambassadors of Christ, to impart the word of Christ, the word of God. And so he went ahead and told us this. He was such a good guy. Jesus was such a nice guy that he said, you know, this is how I'm going to tell you my plan. He didn't make us guess, did he? He said, I'm going to tell you exactly how to do this. See, the farmer can't do his job sitting in the recliner watching the TV, can he? I'll leave that there. Now, I suppose you can say, well, Pastor, the word's good for us. It provides nourishment and sustenance. I can eat some of the seed. Well, sure you can eat some of the seed. You can get nourishment from the Word of God. How many of you have ever been blessed and just felt fed on the Word of God, right? We need to eat some. That's what the harvest is for, to a degree, right? We gather up in the fall. We harvest things. We get our sustenance and our nourishment. They would, you know, collect it all so that they would have enough till the next harvest. But you would have to save some and set aside some seed to sow it again, or guess what? You're going to be starving in 1 year's time. So this is what we do. In order to multiply the Word of God, it can't just sit in your silo. We've got to sow the seed. You must take some of your supply, some of the Word that God has given to you, and you deposit it back into the ground so that it produces more fruit. Far too many come to church, we hear the word, we hear the gospel, and you know what we do? We leave it in our seat till next week. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not what you're to do. You're to leave this church with seed in your pocket, sowing the seed. But Pastor, I don't know how to start. I don't know what to say. I don't have all the answers. I might mess up. Listen, spiritually speaking, you can't mess this up. I want you to hear this. I want you to get this down into your spirit. Beloved, there is no bad way to sow seeds. Some of you need to convince your mind of that. We have all these restrictions about what evangelism is like, and we have all of these excuses that we've made for ourselves. Oh, I might mess it up. I might do all these things wrong. I might not have all the answers. But in this parable, what Jesus is saying is, you can't mess it up. You just go out there and scatter the seeds. You sow the seeds into the ground. Don't worry about what happens after that. Just plant the seeds. Sow the seeds. Sure, it's inevitable that some are going to fall on, you know the story, we know the parable. It's inevitable that they're going to fall on the hard ground. Some are going to land in the rocks. Some are going to grow up with the thorns. But you know what? Some are going to land in good soil. And they're not just going to double or quadruple. What does he say? Jesus say? They're going to multiply 30, 60, 100-fold. Do you know, if we had like a success rate of like 0.01, and we just for every like barely any seed that lands in the ground, we would still be at least doing something beneficial. Can you imagine talking to 1,000 people and, you know, only maybe one person decides to even come to church? That's still a win in the kingdom. It doesn't take any training to sow seeds. Listen now with spiritual ears. It doesn't take any skill. You don't have to have a seminary degree or to know the New Testament in Greek, have memorized the Torah like Louis, to sow seed. At our previous house, we always had trouble with grass in the back. We had a kind of a steep hillside in the backyard and lots of pine trees around, which threw off the pH to the soil. There was lots of leaves, I'm sure, were never raked up by the previous owners, and runoff. And we just had a hard time really getting things established. The ground was rock hard. So oftentimes we'd fertilize. I'd try to aerate a little bit, but we would have the kids help us scatter some grass seed around. And we put a trampoline in. I took out a bunch of poison ivy and cleared some trees and some brush, and we had a spot there where we planted put a trampoline, and we put seeds down. It was growing real nice. Well, we decided to take the leftover and spread it around the yard to kind of fill in the loose spots, and I had the kids help me, and we gave them each a little cup, and they were spreading them around, and I didn't realize that it was a difficult thing to kind of shake a cup, but, you know, the kids, Caleb started to get it a little bit, Malachi, but Josiah, and even Sarah was like 2 at this year. They didn't really understand the concept of spreading the seeds out. So I'll never forget, I come around the house, it was like 2 weeks later, and there on top of a cinder block, Sarah had poured about a cupful of grass seed, and apparently it had gotten enough moisture that there was this huge, it looked like a chia pet. It had all this grass just going straight on top of a cinder block. But this is how the kids did their grass seed. They just went around, they found a little dirt spot, and they would just dump like a cup at a time. Listen, that has more benefit to the soil than not sowing seeds at all. You can't mess this up. You might look at that, and a farmer might say, or, you know, a grass specialist might look at that and say, you know, there's probably better ways to do it. But you can't mess it up. It didn't hurt anything. Church, anyone can sow seeds. You don't have to be articulate or have memorized the entire Word of God. You don't have to be able to answer every single question. I'm going to give you 3 little words to keep this in your back pocket. You say, well, what if I'm sharing something and they ask me a question I don't know the answer? Write these down. I don't know. It's okay. That's worth remembering. You don't have to have all the answers simply to share what God has done for you. That's what we're talking about. You want to get practical. We're not talking about quoting the Bible. We're saying, why are you a Christian? What has God done in your life? And you paraphrase it. You tell them, you share your testimony. This is what God has done in my life. You know, Billy Graham didn't have all the answers either. You don't have to have all the answers to win people to Christ. You don't need to perfectly understand ecclesiology and eschatology and soteriology, to paraphrase John 3:16. God so loved the world, he died for us. You don't have to know all these fancy words. Amen? What matters is not how the seed is sown, it's that the seed is sown to begin with. Why? Because it's not the expertise of the sower that produces fruit, nor is it in the quality of the seed that produces the fruit. It has to do with the soil. This right here is the best seed available. I don't know if you know this. That's the Word of God. That's the best seed that you can get. It has nothing to do with a problem on the seeds department. Even Sarah can make seeds grow on a cinder block. Success or failure of the harvest does not depend on you. It does not depend on the technique. And this really ought to free you up. Even the most gifted sower with this seed, the Word of God, they're not going to see any fruit if it's the wrong soil type. That's the point of the parable. It doesn't matter who puts grass seed on the path. It's only going to grow if it hits the good soil. Now, beginning in verse 15, Jesus identifies these soils for us. These are the hearts of the people that we're trying to reach. Let's see if we can glean anything from these. Verse 15. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. Now, I've got my little supplies up here. It's no real surprise probably what we're dealing with this morning. I'm a nice guy. I'm going to keep the cleanup minimal. My fancy new tarp. I've got up here a paver. For those that are listening and might not be able to see, I'll try to do my best explaining this. I've got a paver stone, which is going to represent the path that one might walk on and have difficulty growing seeds in. It's a hard soil. It's too hard to grow anything. That is what this paving stone represents. Okay? I'm going to put that right over here. Most of us are familiar with the drill field on campus. When I was a student, most of us, we understand, we know that there's crossing paths across this big drill field. It was originally this place where a lot of playing activity went on. The Corps of Cadets would do their drill and their assignments there way back in the day. Now it's just become a lounging place, activity place. In the winter, it's miserably cold, isn't it? Walking across that thing with the wind whipping. And so, over time, people walking from dorms on one side to classrooms on the other side of the drill field decided to take the shortest path. And what happened is that there's not enough sidewalks to the destinations, okay? So over time, they do have some sidewalks crisscrossing back and forth, but people play soccer out there and frisbee and stuff all the time. And so the school has been really skittish around adding extra paths and just making the whole thing paved. And so you can imagine there's these paths that just kind of get worn down like little cow tracks through a field, and it just gets hard packed. And I remember as a student, the administration started roping off some of these things. I don't know if they still do this anymore or not. It seems to me that they kind of figured out it's not going to happen. But they tried to keep people off of these dirt paths and tried to get things to grow. They aerated it. They put down lots of seed, and the seed would kind of grow. And then inevitably, when they'd remove the markers, the tape around it, people would just start walking across and pack it down again. Okay? So eventually, the administration decided, well, okay, I think we just need to kind of give in. This isn't going to happen. And you know what? I noticed a few few years back, they actually went ahead and just paved some of those paths. So they ended up adding more pavement, more sidewalk. And I remember that. And this is to, just to further this point, some people's hearts are like that. That they're just so hard-packed, it doesn't matter if you use all the best resources, all the money in the whole state, because you know the state's got infinite to do whatever they want on college campuses, it seems, sometimes. They can aerate, they can bring all the best lawn equipment in, they can put the best seed down, and guess what? It's not going to help it if the ground is too hard. And that's how some people is. It's just too packed to grow anything. And sometimes you're going to encounter people that are like that. They might just say, no, I'm not interested. Or they might even say worse. Some people's hearts are like that. Verse 16. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Now, I had my children yesterday. They helped me. Believe it or not, these actually come from our garden. There's some good-sized rocks in here. This is what we grow out in Giles. Okay, so these rocks here are the second type of soil. Really good for growing vegetables. I can attest to that. They receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a little while, but the root isn't really good, and it can't quite get on down to the nutrients and the water that it needs. And after a time of testing, they fall away. Do you know, people are just like this. Sometimes you don't see the rock just below the surface. When we moved into this place and we, you know, have this new garden, we had it originally plowed. It was a hayfield. We had it plowed and then tilled twice before we tried to grow a garden there. And it turned it over and it was the darkest, richest looking soil. It looked so beautiful. It looked like cow manure. And then it rained. And the rain washed off all the rocks. And what was happening there was that the rocks were kind of dirt covered. As it rained, they washed them off. And you started to see, boy, we got a yard full of rocks. And you remove them, wheelbarrows full of them. And guess what happens after it rains? You grow more rocks. I think I should sell my dirt to a quarry, because I'm convinced that we actually grow rocks with rain. Now, the first type of soil, the seed could not even begin to root. It was just too hard to even take root. The devil snatches them, takes them away. The second soil, it begins to root, but it can't get to the nutrients or water, so it dies, and this is how people are. Some people, you know, they might make a profession of faith. They might come to church for a little while. They might think they're saved. They might, you know, make some sort of emotional decision, and they make this appearance that they're following Christ Jesus, but they're really not. There's no substance. There's no real root. They just are pretending in some respects to be a believer. And they might go through some classes or get even baptized, and then a month or two or three or a year might go by, and then they're not showing up to church anymore. And you write them a letter, you give them a text, you might even knock on their door, and you can't find them. Even the FBI can't find these people. They're just gone, right? They're just witness protection plan. Maybe that's where they've gone. We cannot find them. They don't exist. This is what Jesus is describing as the second type of heart. Is that they just no real root. They're not really a part of my kingdom and my church. Now here's the third type, verse 18. And the other ones are the ones in whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, again, yesterday, because I live in Giles, we have the best soil around. I went and found some nice thorns for you guys. And we've got lots of these around the property. So I'm just going to see if I can not get poked to death here. These are our thorns. I stopped there because they were quite painful yesterday. But there's my thorns. Okay? And this is the third type of people. They never fully mature. They get choked out. And this, to me, as a pastor, is the most frustrating one. Maybe not even just a pastor, maybe just as a Christian, as a believer. It appears that these kinds of people make the decision. They're growing up. but they believe on Christ, but they never produce fruit. God, I know that you're real, but I just don't have time for you anymore. That you're not really relevant anymore. And they get choked out by riches, by maybe the corporate ladder, going after a new and better and bigger job, a bigger house. Maybe they're busy with keeping their children in sports and the extracurriculars and all the activities of the world. And it's sad to think about, isn't it? And I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying, what I'm about to tell you, is that there's a bunch of people that make this so-called profession of faith. Many people have this idea in their mind that if you walk down the aisle, if you raise your hand, if you pray a prayer, you get baptized, you attend a church, that you're saved. That's what it means to be saved. Now, I'm going to say something that's uncomfortable, and it's easy to misconstrue this, but the reality is that you're not saved by saying the sinner's prayer. You're saved by surrendering your life to Christ Jesus. And a bunch of people, they appear that they're going to produce fruit. They look like they're growing and maturing, they're growing up, but then the thorns take over their life as they mature. Now, at this point, you might be discouraged and you might be thinking, well, why would I even bother sowing? These are my options: rocks and pavers and thorns. Well, I better be careful with my seeds. Maybe I should just keep them to myself if all they're going to do is just not grow or be choked out by things. And we look at the conditions of the soil, and for some reason, many of us have decided the best course of action is, well, I'll just leave it up to the professionals. I'll leave it up to the pastors, the evangelists. And you're looking around, you say, well, if I were to plant a garden, and these are my choices, what would I choose? Well, I don't think anything is a good place. And this is what we do spiritually in the kingdom. We start looking in our flesh, in our eyes, as so-called expert farmers, as expert sowers, and we say, well, that person, they've got blue hair. Or that person over there, they voted for so-and-so. Or that person over there looks like they're strung out on drugs. I'm not going to waste my seed on those. That looks like the hardest heart. And we start to judge people without even realizing that's what we're doing. We say, I'm not going to waste my time for that. Have you seen the tattoos on that person? Look, they're walking into a tattoo parlor right now. Oh, they just got out of a psychic, whatever it's called, clinic? That's not the right word. Psychic. No, the palm readers, that's what I meant. Not psychiatric. And we start to judge. We think that we know better than them. I'm a farmer, I've sown seeds. It didn't work last time, it got choked out by thorns. So I'm not growing a garden this year at all. And this is what we do sometimes. Listen, I want to remind you of something that I said earlier. It's the quality of the soil that determines whether or not the planting of seeds produces a harvest. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. With that in mind, let us consider the last soil. Verse 20. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Got you some brand new, fresh, beautiful soil. Anyone want to sow some seeds? Isn't it pretty? I promise you could grow anything in that. You know why? Because I read the scripture, and I know the scripture says that's not going to take any skill to grow anything there. Now, this is the heart of man that just doesn't want to hear the word, but they heed it. They don't just receive the gospel, they respond to the gospel. They don't just retain the gospel, they reproduce the gospel. This is the heart of a good man that can produce 30, 60, 100 fold. Now, most of us think this is how it works, and I'm just going to go spend my time over here. This is a good soil, and we just pass by everything. We say, well, okay, this person looks like they're ready. I'm going to put a seed or two here. Yep, okay. And then, you know, we might go about our business, and we might come back, and, well, all right, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We pray. We might even pray, you know, oh, Lord, bring me some good soil today, right? oh, this looks like a really good soil. Thank you, Lord, for opening up that door of opportunity. That's a good soil. And that's what we do. And, you know, the heart of that prayer is great. It really is. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray that. Lord, open up opportunities for us. The problem is that we, with our flesh, determine ahead of time who, a lot of times, who we think is the good soil without really listening to the Holy Spirit. And so we determine and we judge things, and we're not really listening to God. See, what Jesus is saying, this is not how to do sowing. This is the picture that I got from God as I was up that night in pain. The soil did not look anything like this. You know what it looked like? It's all mixed in. There's some good soil over here. There's some rocks all over here. I'm just going to mix it all up. There's some thorns all in here scattered all over. You get the idea. This is what the New River Valley really looks like. And you know what? Since we're in Blacksburg, maybe there's some extra pavers, right? A lot of pavers, mostly pavers, right? Beloved, you can't tell where the good soil is. It all looks the same until you sow seeds and watch to see if the harvest comes. We think we're doing service to God by being careful with the seed. Oh God, I got to protect it. But this is what Jesus was teaching. He's saying, just scatter the seeds. All you got to do is scatter the seeds. Just throw them out. I got plenty more to go where that comes from. And you just dump the seed out. I want you to sow seeds on the dirt. And I don't want you to think about the rocks or the dirt or the thorns or anything. I want you just to spread lots of seed and let me bring the harvest. Amen. The reason we don't see harvest, it's not because there's something wrong with his seed. It's not because the ground is too hard, too thorny, or too rocky. It's because oftentimes we look through our fleshly eyes and we determine there's no good soil. I think this is the number one reason we don't see harvests in the church and out on the mission field. Well, I may as well leave my seeds in the bin. What's the point of sowing if I've got a 75% failure rate? You know, we sort of, before we sow our seeds, we might, you know, push around some things. Well, I'm going to move some rocks out of the way. And okay, well, that's not really, maybe I'll just take some soil over here. Hey, can I invite you to my Bible study? We just toss it. Hey, you're not invited. Get out of here. We just take a little bit of dirt. We choose, okay, that's good. That's going to be a good way to grow. We're all into the soil prep business, aren't we? That's what we do. Church, that's not how it works. That's not our job. See, God didn't hire you as a soil consultant. He just wants you to sow seeds. Now, I want you to remember that in this parable, God is responsible for handling the harvest. Remember, all that the sower can do is obey and sow the seeds. And once he does, the harvest is in the Lord's hands. He's the Lord of the harvest. Now, I don't know who's going to accept Christ. I don't know who's going to reject Christ. You don't know who's going to accept, and you don't know who's going to reject. And see, that's the point, is evangelism is not so much about the presentation of the message or it's about the penetration of the heart, if you will. It's not about how we present the gospel, it's how well the gospel is going to get into that soil. Are they ready to receive it? See, whose job is the presentation? Well, it's ours. Our job is. We're the sowers. We're to say, here's the gospel of Christ. This is why Jesus came. This is what he did in my life. And I want you to hear these words. Now, whose job is the penetration? That's the Holy Spirit's. That's up to God. That's between God and them. And that is why I can confidently tell you that we can all be successful in evangelism if we would simply scatter seed instead of spending so much time preparing the soil. Beloved, there's plenty of word to go around. We ought not be stingy with his word. In light of this, want us to consider that evangelistic success is not when somebody prays to receive Christ, is it? That's how our minds think oftentimes, don't they? Well, I've never won anyone to Christ, we might say. Well, have you sown any seeds? Because it's not about how many you win. Perhaps you've just had a bad soil. You just live in Giles County. All you got is rocks and thorns. Maybe you live in Blacksburg. It's full of paving stones. You know what? Sometimes it just be like that. Success is not, I'll get baptized. I'll give my life to Christ. Success is not, I'll join the church. Success, you know what success is? If you have ears to hear, let them hear. Success is going out and sowing the seed. That's what we are tasked with. Success is when we sow, succeed. That we just sow the seed. Every time you just scatter the seed, you sow his word. That is what it means to be a faithful farmer. See, God who created the universe decided to entrust you and I with the greatest mission that there is. To share the news of Christ Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That we have the mission to introduce others to eternal life. Beloved, don't be stingy with his word. Grab a handful and get to scattering seed.